Sometimes passages of scripture simply don't need to be preached on. All you need to do is to have listened. I'm one of those who believes that if all we got was St. John's Gospel, we would have a deep and profound understanding of the kind of relationship that God calls us into. A relationship that is not primarily for us, but is a relationship that delivers. That delivers on the sacrifice of Jesus. That delivers in the way that Jesus gave up his life for us and calls us in our own quiet way to do the same. So that we may bear fruit. Fruit that will last. John's Gospel gives us a real insight into the way in which God loves us, and that God wants us to reflect that love daily, all day, every day, every moment of our waking lives. This passage in particular underlines a key word, and that key word is love. And it's a love that is born of sacrifice. A love that says, I care not a thing for myself, but I care deeply and profoundly for God's world and his people. And so we meet in the context of a horror. A horror of people acting in a name of perversity. People acting in a way that had nothing to do with faith, that has nothing to do with love, and primarily has nothing to do with a true understanding of sacrifice. Let us be clear that what happened in Paris last week was not motivated by any faith. It was motivated by pure evil. And let's name it. Let's name that evil. Let us despise it. Let us stand up in the face of it. Let us counter it. And let us counter it with the strongest thing God has given us. And that is love. Only love will overcome evil. For heaven's sake, politicians won't. For heaven's sake, laws won't. And for heaven's sake, negotiation won't. We are called to love. Love without compromise. That is the most deeply challenging call for any human being, that in the face of corruption and evil, we are given a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And what did I do for you? I gave up my life and I died for you. Because love is more important than anything else. People will know us because we are people of love. People will see something of God because we are people of love. People will understand something of the good news of Jesus Christ because we are people of love. Everything that we are, everything that we do, everything that we say should be characterized by the fact that we love God and that we love our neighbor as ourselves, unconditionally. Not the ones we pick to love, but the ones God has given us to love, whether we like them or not. So this is an extraordinarily challenging passage of Scripture. Why? I hate rhetorical questions in sermons. I do apologize. Because it says something really tough. Because, you know, just when you're thinking, hey, look at me, I'm growing. Whoa, I'm growing in my love for God. I'm growing in my... This is great. You get pruned. Pruning is an extraordinary thing. All the new shoots, last year's shoots, are pruned. The one thing God will never leave you to do is to just grow. How extraordinary. Because he forms you. Because he takes you and he prunes you so that you may grow more. Because the problem is, if you grow, and if you think you're doing rather well, you get a bit of sort of self-absorbed and a bit bumptious and a bit confident. Well, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to grow, and then we're called to grow some more. Because the one thing you never do in this life is you never get to the point where you've made it. You never get to the point where God looks at you and says, yes, that's fine, that'll do, okay. At least not in my experience. If you get a glimpse of that, you can guarantee that that glimpse will be in somebody else. It will never be in you. You will always be looking at somebody else and think, if only I could grow in God's love as they do. And you know what? One of the reasons they grow in God's love is because they're pruned on a regular basis. And they're pruned on a regular basis usually because they've got some things in order. And those things are really simple. Three things. It's a sermon. I'm an Anglican. There's bound to be three things. One, they pray. It's that simple. They pray. They spend time with God listening. Not telling him, not going to him with a to-do list and saying, you know, if you could sort this lot out by next Wednesday, that would be great. They spend time with God in prayer, in listening to what he wills for them. And they study. They read their Bible on a regular basis and they reflect on it. And they do things, like attend study groups and all the kind of stuff that makes people curl at the toes slightly. Because it seems a bit keen. They do things like that because they want to understand more of what God wants from them. So prayer and study. And if you miss the third one, it becomes wholly and completely selfish. Because the third one is action. It's not about you. It's not about you getting closer to God. It's not about you feeling that God feeds you more. It's about being enabled to get out there and do something with it. A Christian who does nothing is half a Christian at best. And so we need to be engaged with the ways of the world. We need to be engaged with the things that cut across God's love. We need to be engaged with the things that block God's love. We need to be engaged with the things that stop his kingdom coming alive here and now. Whoever does not abide with me is thrown away. Spend time with God. You will be amazed the more time you spend with God, the more time you've got to do his work. Because that's part of his gift to you. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How many people get that the wrong way round? We are not called to be a group of slavish rule followers, the result of which is that we will love God. If we love God, following his commandments will be as natural as breathing. It will be the kind of way that we automatically live our lives. It will happen simply because we love God. When you love somebody, what do you want to do? You want to spend as much time with them as you possibly can. Every moment away from them is an aching moment. Every moment away from them is a moment that makes your heart break. The good news is, unlike human relationships, there is never a moment when you are away from God. He is always with you. He is always part of you. He is part of you in a way that is as natural as breathing. All you have to do is acknowledge that. All you have to do is to say yes. And of course, having done that, everything then becomes totally straightforward and simple. Well, no, it doesn't. Because the one thing God's love actually does to you is to make you more vulnerable, more aware of the pain in the world, more aware of those who suffer, more aware of those who are more marginalized, more aware of those who do not have the blessings that you have. And because you love God and because you love them, you will redouble your efforts to ensure that they receive the same blessings too. You will do that by holding them before God and seeking his blessing upon them. And you will do that by acting, by doing something about it, by not simply sitting back and saying, oh, I can't do anything. Yes, you can, because you are full of God's love, and in his name you can achieve great and glorious things. So this is my commandment, he said. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, in a sense, that's been slightly corrupted because it's been drawn into a sort of vaguely memory of wars type thing. So it crops up on Remembrance Sunday on a regular basis. Laying down our lives is something that we're all called to. We're all called to service and to sacrifice. We're all called to serve God. We're all called to serve our neighbour. But this is the extraordinary thing. What does Jesus then say? He says, I don't call you servants any longer. Because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. I have called you friends. In your prayer, listen to Jesus calling you his friend. And how does that feel? If that isn't transformative, I'd be astonished that Jesus looks at you in the eye and says, I call you my friend. If that doesn't change you, if that doesn't ensure you and bring you into a closer relationship with him and those whom he loves, I'd be astonished. So prayer, study, action. It's not rocket science. It is straightforward. Faith calls for outworking. And that outworking is in action, and that is fruitfulness. And the extraordinary thing is, it is all done in the name of love. Amen.